Hello everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat. This is our 20th study in the book of Genesis. We come today to Genesis chapter 21, verse 11. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to read and study. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 21. Verse 11, picking up right where we left off. So, the Bible says, "And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son." And we can understand Abraham's feelings here. Sarah tells him to get rid of his 13-year-old son. And even though Ishmael isn't the miracle son, he is still Abraham's son. And Abraham is probably thinking, Sarah, she is really overreacting. But she was not. Verse 12. "But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called." In other words, don't go by your feelings, Abraham. Don't let your feelings dictate what you do. God says, Sarah is right. Now do as she says. You know, God has called men to be the head of the home, spiritually. But he has not called us to be unyielding dictators. A smart man will consider carefully the advice of his wife, and prayerfully. 13. "Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed." God is saying, yes, Abraham, I'm telling you to send your son away, but I also want you to know that I will take care of him. Abraham will miss Ishmael, but he can trust God to take care of him. Verse 14. "So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away." Now, this had to be the toughest thing God ever asked Abraham to do, so far anyway. But notice how he got up early and got right at it. The last part of verse 14. "Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba." A skin of water and some bread is what Abraham gave them. Boy, I sure hope Abraham didn't go broke being so generous here, you know. But actually, it was not unusual to travel like that. There were many small settlements, and people would normally take only enough to make it to the next settlement. Hagar and Ishmael ran into trouble because, as it says here, they wandered. They got lost. 15. "And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept." It seems strange that a 16-year-old boy would run out of steam before his mother, but that is what happened. Who knows, maybe he gave his mom most of the bread and most of the water. The important thing is that we notice that things were looking very bleak here. 17. "And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." And I can tell you why God heard the voice of the lad. It is at least in part because 4 years earlier, his father Abraham prayed, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in thy sight." And Ishmael will live because God will answer that prayer of Abraham's. It's the reason that Lot got out of Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. The prayer of Abraham. 18, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. Now it does not say that God dug a well. It says that he opened her eyes and she saw a well. They were so overwhelmed with their trial that they could not see the blessing that was there in the midst of their trial. You know, sometimes the answer to our problem is right in front of us, but we don't see it until after we pray. 20. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. God told his mother that Ishmael would grow up to be a wild man, and here he is living in the wilderness, the perfect place for a wild man to live. It's happening just as God said it would. 21. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. Now, that would make sense. His mother was an Egyptian, and they were not far away from Egypt. And so, they dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and that is actually the area where Israel will wander 40 years because of their disobedience to God after they leave Egypt. The last part of verse 21 says that his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt, and that made sense too, because his mother was an Egyptian, and so Ishmael marries an Egyptian girl, and they were living close by Egypt. 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. This is the Abimelech that Abraham had lied to when he said that Sarah was his sister and not his wife. Abimelech knew that God was with Abraham. Boy, when God Almighty appears to you in a dream and says, you are a dead man because you have taken Sarah, Abraham's wife, into your harem, that's the first clue that God is watching over Abraham. But not just that. It's not just that. Abraham is over 100, and Sarah is over 90, and they have this little boy, Isaac. That is not normal. That is an act of God. Anyone can see that. And so it is easy to see that God is with Abraham, and it is making Abimelech very nervous. 23. Now therefore, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. And Abraham said, I will swear. Abimelech knew two things about Abraham. Number one, God was with Abraham. And number two, Abraham could not be trusted because of that fast one that he pulled on Abimelech, lying to him about Sarah being his sister. Well, that's why Abimelech wants Abraham to promise that he would never pull another one like that on him or on his family. 25. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. Wells were very valuable in those days. It took a lot of work to find water and dig a well. Abraham is upset because his servants did all the work. They found the water and dug a well only to have it stolen by some of Abimelech's men. And since this seems to be time for straight talk between Abraham and Abimelech, Abraham rebukes him over this stolen well. 26. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard of it until today. Abimelech had no idea that his men had stolen this well from Abraham. 27. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. Abraham graciously provides the animals, and these two men make a blood covenant like the one God made with Abraham a couple of weeks ago. Abraham and Abimelech swear to stay out of each other's hair is what they are doing. 28. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Then Abimelech asked Abraham, "What is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves?" And he said, "You will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well." Abraham gives 7 lambs to Abimelech, and he says, "By receiving these lambs, you are saying that this well belongs to me." In other words, Abraham bought his own well. Abraham swallowed any pride he may have had in an effort to keep the peace. Verse 31. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because the two of them swore an oath there. Beersheba means well of the oath. That was supposed to be a reminder that neither side should start any trouble with the other. Verse 32. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. The Philistines originally came out of Egypt. They eventually settled in the Holy Land. Verse 33. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Notice that God is everlasting. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. There never was a time when God was not, and there never will be a time when God will not be. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. Let's go into chapter 22. At least get started. Verse 1, Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham, and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." That these things include what happened in chapter 21. They are Abraham obeying God and sending his teenage son Ishmael away. It also includes the birth of the miracle baby Isaac, who Abraham and Sarah had waited for many years. And so, after these things, the Bible says that God tested Abraham. A test reveals what is in us, doesn't it? It can be a test of strength or a test of knowledge. It can be a test of endurance. In Abraham's case, it will be a test of faith. When this is over, everyone will know whether Abraham's faith is real or just talk. Verse 2. Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." The command: put your son on an altar, slay him, and burn him. Offer him to me as you have offered me animals in the past. And just so Abraham does not say, "But God, you don't know what you are asking me to do," God acknowledges that Isaac is his only son, and a son he loves. God knows. He knows that this is the hardest thing that he could ever possibly ask Abraham to do. And we will see what happens when we pick up our study next time in verse 3. Until then, so long, everyone.